It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
We've talked about that newsroom we've been in since the inception of CBS Sports Radio and how much of a dump that it is. And it's a depressing place. So I'm happy to be out of there. We don't have as much privacy as we used to, but I'm happy to be out of there.
Who needs privacy these days?
No.
On the plane, at the park, wherever.
You don't need any of that stuff,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so today's an important day for us because it could shape how our weekend's going to go. Next weekend, we've got Steven Espinoza, who's the head of Showtime Sports, joining us in studio and our third hour today, starting at 8:25 Eastern Time. Brian has a gift for the man. You'll find out what that is.
We tag team Steven Espinoza.
That's what we're going to do.
Yeah. Go tag team your ass.
That's what we're going to do.
He just warned it.
So we're going to try to do everything in our power to get a trip out to Mayweather and McGregor.
Ain't nothing like a free trip, dog.
Yeah, I know.
And especially to Vegas, because you're going to need some coins.
So no shame whatsoever
in this.
We're going to strip ourselves of every bit of pride that we have.
Literally.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we're going to throw it all at Steven Espinoza.
Yeah. The collegiate Brian, the ghetto Brian.
Oh, yeah.
All that.
Happy Greg.
Yeah.
Yeah, happy.
Curmudgeon Greg.
No,
curmudgeon Greg?
No. Happy, engaging.
Oh.
Right.
Okay, that's right.
That's what I'm going to have to throw at him. I can't be curmudgeonly around Espinoza. He doesn't want to hang out with that guy.
Oh, yeah, we'd be done.
True.
He'd end the interview. I'm out of here.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I can't wait to see his reaction to your gift because that's going to be the thing that puts it over the top.
You think?
I think so.
I hope he appreciates it.
Oh, I'm sure.
Some people, you get to a certain status, and he's one of those big wigs. You want the big suits. You can't appreciate.
Oh, just throw your gift in the garbage when he walks out the door? You might be right about that. You might be right about that.
So when we were leaving and I see it in the garbage, I'm going to find it and go hit him with it.
You just waking up, dog.
All right, let's talk some preseason football from last night. Woo! You had the Buccaneers and the Jaguars last night, and Blake Bortles had a terrible year last year. He was just pathetic. There was so much hype going into the Jaguars last season as being that team that could take the next step. Everybody loved the offense. Allen Hurns, Allen Robinson, Blake Bortles had a good year the prior year. They were going to be this young group that was going to take the NFL by storm. They were the trendy pick. Blake Bortles was bad. He racked up numbers in garbage time. If you had him in fantasy football, he would be terrible in the first half, terrible for three quarters, and then he'd salvage you something in the fourth quarter because the team was getting blown out. So Doug Marrone is the head coach there in Jacksonville after being the interim, and now he's the full-time head coach. And they didn't do much in the offseason when it came to improving the quarterback position. So they bring back Blake Bortles.
Mm-hmm.
Chad Henne is still there. And Blake Bortles, shockingly enough, still sucks. And he was on display last night sucking. And a couple of throws that were just atrocious. Now, I know that it is tough to judge when you see a ball land in the middle of nowhere because you'll say, well, maybe the receiver didn't run the right route. Maybe the ball was tipped. Or maybe it was a quarterback sucking. But if you listen to Doug Marrone after the game, I mean, it was the quarterback sucking. Right, so it's an open competition now. Bortles was terrible. There's two specific throws. If you haven't seen, it's all over Twitter. Where I mean, he must be seeing
slipped, dog.
He must be
Come
seeing
on.
Ghosts because it's nowhere near his receivers. And the Jaguars are now in a tough position because they don't have any good quarterbacks.
Wow, man, follow that up. Chad Henne is going to be the man. He's the one that looked the most comfortable. Once again, preseason, rudimentary defenses, and you're talking about a guy now going to his third year into this league. He's seen these bland defenses. He should be able to read the complicated defenses at this point. The top pick in the draft, you've got to progress. And I say that also knowing it is so difficult at this level. I don't care if you are a top draft pick or you're the last draft pick. It is difficult to play at this level. Some are going to show that they have it. Others are going to display something far as far from being a number one quarterback in the league as anything. So I am shocked that he hasn't picked up the pieces from a season that was a regression a year ago, and now going up against these bland defenses, not showcasing anything that appears to be a superstar quarterback in the making. So Chad Henne definitely looked the best. He's been in this league a long time. He's been a perennial backup, but that's a damn good job. Great work if you can find it. And he looked so much more comfortable. He had two touchdown passes dropped.
Yeah.
Perfect passes. And the cast just dropped them.
Yeah, Chad Henne is not someone who is going to get you the postseason, but right now he's better than Blake Bortles. And he is just all sorts of messed up Bortles. He came into the league with Ben Roethlisberger comparisons everywhere. He was good early on. There was some mechanical issues that people thought would be easily worked out. And now he's just gotten to the point where he's totally lost. And this happens with guys where all of a sudden they just can't do it anymore. And I don't know what happened to Blake Bortles. I don't know if he wasn't any good to begin with and he just fooled us. I don't know if it's in his head. I don't know if physically he's not right. I don't know what it is, but at this point it doesn't matter what it is because it's been going on for too long for him to just have this starting job.
Well, 2 years ago he showed us that he could play in this league. He had the 36 touchdowns. You think he was one behind Brady. So I don't know what has happened. Maybe he's got the yips all of a sudden.
Yeah.
We've seen that in other sports, and maybe that's going on here. It's a turnover in the coaching staff. Maybe he hasn't connected with the new scheme. I have no idea. But you would still think going up against those bland defenses, seeing as much football as he has over the last couple of years, that he'd figure it out and be able to at least be an accurate passer.
Yeah, there. And if you think about last year, let's say probably, I don't know, week 13, 14, around there, and we had a good snapshot of what the NFL was in 2016, and you told me, you could pick one of these three guys to start on Sunday for your team. Blake Bortles, Chad Henne, or Colin Kaepernick. I would pick Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that because I've been on the side of this guy should have a job. I'm saying that pure honesty.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even when I've played, I know fantasy football, real football, two different things. I totally get it. All right. But I think I even had that choice at one point when I could choose in our FanDuel leagues Colin Kaepernick or Blake Bortles, and I would always take Colin Kaepernick if I was looking for a cheap quarterback. So we know it's not going to happen because this guy's not going to get a job, but isn't this another exact situation where you're thinking, we need a shot in the arm. We need something. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got this whole team here that we've been building up. We spent a crap ton of money on the defense in the offseason. We've got weapons galore. We drafted Leonard Fournette. When this guy gets healthy, he's going to come back and things are going to be great. All of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have a quarterback, and you won't even give someone who went to the Super Bowl a shot because he took a knee. Hell, I would sign Louis Farrakhan if I knew he could play quarterback better than Blake Bortles. I wouldn't care.
Damn.
I wouldn't care at this point.
Ed, what do you want to do? Do you want to win? Do you want to be a loser each and every year? So, of course, if I had to be a participant in that draft, you just posed, yes, I'm taking Kaepernick, and Henne would be second, and Cutler would be last, so and Bortles would be last, and he's on that list as well. So this is a no-brainer. They need to upgrade the offense. They have amassed talent at each and every position except the quarterback position. You have to figure that out. What's the old saying? If you know what you have, you don't have much. Well, they know what they have in Bortles, and it's not much at this point.
Did you see the latest Jason Whitlock piece with Colin Kaepernick that
I believe, ended up in the Wall Street Journal. Did you see this one?
I did not. Will make my blood boil?
Probably.
Yeah.
One of the points he made was Kaepernick mixed race and was adopted by a white family. So it's an odd thing that he would have the stances.
Why is that odd? What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know. But that was his take.
Wow.
So I want you to read
it. So when they pulled me over, I'm like, well, you know, you might be from a mixed race family. I'm going to leave you alone. Yeah.
Well, not only that, it's just the whole thing of, I mean, do you have to have an experience that fits the mold to be able to protest injustice? I don't know. But you should read the article yourself.
He's very dismissive. He was dismissive of LeBron James when we were talking about the vandalism to his home out in California, as if LeBron James has always been king of the basketball world and doesn't have experiences that can lend some credence to this particular issue. That's why he bothered me. He's dismissive of every damn thing. What went on there in Missouri? Look at Missouri now. That University of Missouri, they are struggling. Dennis Dodd shared with us on the show how the problems they're having fiscally. They got 6 or 7 dorms that are just completely empty. Enrollment has plunged there.
They had to move their radio newsroom.
Yeah.
To make room for salespeople.
They're all in cubicles.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that just shows you the importance of us, right?
Yeah, there's no...
But I'm telling you, man, the glass is always... half full. That's new fertile ground for me.
Oh, of course. Of course it is.
I'm going to enjoy it.
Let's listen to Doug Marrone after the game last night, how unhappy he is with the quarterback position.
I met with both quarterbacks afterwards. I told them what I'm looking for is I'm looking for someone that's going to lead this offense. So I'm not happy with the performance today. I'm not going to sit here and BS anyone. I mean, everyone saw it out there. Whatever you want to call it, I'm still trying to evaluate who the best person is at that position. I told that to both quarterbacks.
Wow. I mean, that's groundbreaking stuff, Doug. So you need someone to lead the offense at the quarterback position? That's what you told them? Well, what made you wait so long to let them know about that? Maybe they didn't know. That's why they've been playing so bad.
Well, automatically know that. And I don't know if Coach Marrone, who's just been sitting back and observing and not having much to say and wanting to give them a couple of preseason games, but he's definitely at his wit's end as far as the play at that position. He can't be as upset with his backup quarterback, Henny, as he is with Bortles. And I believe that he's trying to send a message to Bortles because Henny would have been the starter if they wanted him to be, but Bortles is the guy right now because all the money – that they have invested in him, but he's sending a message to that guy. He's not necessarily talking to Henny. Henny's just there to be a part of the meeting. But this is about Blake Bortles and his future as a Jacksonville Jaguar or even his future as an NFL player. He's got to get with it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people at the end of last year were thinking, oh, the Jaguars are probably going to do something at that quarterback position. They're going to look into some of the free agents that are available. They're going to look at some of the guys.
Too soon. This guy's going to his third year.
But it's not.
Fourth year.
With the way that he played last year, it's not. And you're seeing it right now. Now, does he wake up all of a sudden and turn into the player that we saw early on in his career a couple years ago? I mean, I guess it's a possibility. And that's why he's still there. Because Chad Henne, I think that anybody who's in the Jaguars organization say we know exactly what Chad Henne is going to be. Mm-hmm. The worst of Chad Henne, the best of Chad Henne, the down the middle Chad Henne, we got that. But Bortles, there's still a little potential in there.
Like they did with Blaine Gabbert.
And but I don't think there is. I don't think there's anything left in this guy because he's that bad. I mean, to be that bad in the season last year throughout, to never improve, week in, week out, bad defensive matchups. I remember looking at Bortles every week. This is the week that Jacksonville offense is going to wake up. It never happened. Never happened. And then to bring him
trying to wake up watching him.
And then to bring him back this year. And for him to be that bad tells me all I need to know about the guy. He's lost. He's shot.
Well, he's got the yips. But what we witnessed when he hit 36 touchdowns, 14, 16 interceptions, that was a good football player. Has he forgotten how to play?
Yes.
He's forgotten how to play the game.
Clearly.
Something's in his head. He hasn't forgotten how to play. Well, he just can't.
If it is a mental thing, then that I think is even worse because you had an entire offseason to try to fix it, to do everything you could to get your confidence
Sometimes
back.
It takes a little longer to fix crazy, man. I'm not saying he's crazy. I'm just saying other people like
him. It doesn't seem like a crazy
person.
No. Yeah.
The yips.
Jay Cutler debuted last night.
Oh, wow.
Looked okay, I guess. It's not really all that exciting, Jay Cutler, to me.
Showed off that arm, threw some darts, then he threw some duds.
You think Tony Romo is watching Jay Cutler going, oh, I could do that too.
The difference is when Jay Cutler got smashed by that Ravens defender, he landed on top of Cutler.
He didn't die.
He didn't, exactly.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Chest didn't cave in, punctured his heart. That's the difference. Somehow Romo's not thinking that.
Right.
He's watching that hit and he's like, yeah, I'm in the right place.
His bones didn't grind into dust upon contact.
If they were in a sausage grinder, that was a wicked hit. So, and he got up from that, and they immediately took him out. So I guess he's doing all right, and that conditioning is getting where it needs to be.
If you want to join the show, the number remains the same. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. As we talk some NFL this morning, a big holdout for the Rams that could change their entire season, and a Brad Heller R&B update. Coming up next.
Give us a call right now. 855-212-4CBS.
Hello. Our update anchor for the week.
What's going on? It's been a struggle to get here, isn't it? I thought about what you said yesterday. No.
Wow, right off the bat. Just negative.
I thought about, Gio, what you were saying yesterday, how you get to Friday and it's just like you're so exhausted by that point.
Yeah.
Because I was of the opposite. Like, just get me to Friday and I'm fine. But now, like... Yeah.
You're working off of fumes, man. I mean, at least you weren't doing some philanthropic work in Austin like Brian was.
I know. You've been,
So don't complain. I mean, this guy's been at Top Golf drinking, helping out the kids.
Yeah, man. One drink per kid.
It's all about the kids, man. All about the kids.
There's a lot of kids.
So you've had it easy doing
that's
a couple
true.
Of.
Yeah, Heller.
That's true.
Hella. Negative ads. Yeah.
First thing he says, it's been a struggle to get here. We
can't help it.
We love all our update anchors that join the show during the Bogish vacations. We love Bogish the most, of course, but when fill-in guys come in, we like to get to know them.
Right.
And Brad, what we've learned about Brad this week is he's a miserable son of a bitch. And also...
That's number one.
Yeah.
That's number one.
Also... He loves 90s R&B music. That is his wheelhouse. Not only does he love listening to it, he knows everything about it. So
the minute you start to hate him, you can't stand him, he pulls you back in with that.
So we decided to combine these two things to make Brad a little bit happier and the 90s R&B. Yes. So throughout the morning this morning, Brad's going to do his updates with the 90s R&B music beds underneath.
Come on.
It's a dream come true. It really is. Well, it's a dream come true.
That's what we do here. We help you, your dreams come true.
We tested one out yesterday. It sounded beautiful. So here we go again.
En vogue.
Yes. Pete, hit it. And Brad, take it away.
Wow. I mean, this is amazing.
I mean, bust a move if you need to.
Of course. I mean, I'm just going to let the rhythm come to me as we go. All right. We'll start with... The NFL preseason week two kicked off last night. Jameis Winston looks ready to be in midseason form. 21 of 29, 196 yards. Buccaneers beat the Jaguars 12-8. Here's head coach Dirk Cutter.
Jameis was sharp. Other than one play, Jameis was extremely sharp. I think he was 21 out of 29. He was extremely sharp, but... You know, we have extremely high standards for him, as he does for himself.
Yeah, no diggity. On the other side, Blake Bortles and Chad Henne both struggled, leading Jags head coach Doug Marrone to say the starting job is still being evaluated. Also last night, Jay Cutler made his Dolphins debut, 3 of 6, 24 yards, and a 31-7 loss to the Ravens. Now you're just throwing me off here.
No joke, I just throw the slow stuff in there.
You can't do that.
Right.
Wow, all right. Tyrod Taylor, couple of interceptions. Bills lost to the Eagles 20-16. Chris Long showed support for teammate Malcolm Jenkins in this one. Jenkins raises a fist over his head during the national anthem. Long, a Charlottesville native, stood with one hand on Jenkins' back, then a hug for him when the song was over.
Yeah. Close the door.
Is this the karaoke version that you found here, Pete? I feel like I'm in like an after-hours Thai restaurant right now.
It's like 3 a.m. on a Thursday.
Yeah.
Let's move to baseball, shall we? One too many sake bombs, I guess. I don't know. From baseball, the Cardinals creeping closer to the first place Cubs.
Hit hard to right field, into the corner. Bam rounds third. He's headed home. The ball gets away from Frazier, and here comes DeYoung. He's going to score. Fowler's headed to third, and he is safe at third. Dexter Fowler has put the Cardinals on top here in the seventh inning.
Cardinals Radio Network on that call. Okay. Okay. 11-7, the Cardinals beat the Pirates. St. Louis just a game and a half behind the Cubs. Cubs hit six home runs, actually erased an eight-run deficit at one point, but still lost to the Reds at Wrigley Field 13-10. Yankees finished off a four-game sweep of the Mets 7-5. Gary Sanchez at a home run, five RBIs. Yankees visit the Red Sox this weekend. Current Red Sox owner John Henry says he wants to change the name of Yawkey Way right outside Fenway Park, named after previous owner Tom Yawkey, who is a Hall of Famer, but
Red Sox
were the last team in baseball to integrate 12 years after Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier.
That was a nice way of putting it. He was a racist. He's in the Hall of Fame, but a racist.
But he has a lot of company.
Yeah, of course. He's not the only one.
That's all I got.
All right, Brian.
All right.
Very good, hey, man.
You guys are changing the way updates are going to be done across,
trendsetters,
across
baby.
The network. That's right.
Yeah. Well, might as well do it while they're still here, Brad, right? Because that's what's next.
That's true.
Oh, now I don't want to say anything else. I just want to listen to the music. Don't do it. I was going to talk about Aaron Donald holding out, and we might get to that at some point, but I got a text message from a friend who said, did you hear the show before you this morning? They were having a discussion about umpires and switching to robot umpires. And I said, no, I was prepping for the show. I was on in the background, but didn't hear a lot of it. He goes, well, go back and listen to some of the audio. He gave me a timestamp on it. Let me know what you think. So we did that, right? So on After Hours, there was a thought by the host that with these robot umpires, and we're not just talking about electronically deciding balls and strikes, mm-hmm. like when we have the conversation, that's what we're thinking of, you know, like sensor on the plate.
Exactly.
She thought that robots, actual robots.
C-3PO.
Right, like the maid in the Jetsons, right? Like that was going to be built and then put behind home plate, which is quite possibly the funniest thought that I've heard in a long time, and was having a full-blown robot umpire conversation, not facetiously, but like seriously. So we have some of the audio here, if you'd like to hear it. This is her talking about, you know, what happens with these plays at the plate.
No. Who makes the initial call? If there's a robot calling balls and strikes behind the plate, is there just an umpire standing there? And what about check swings? Who determines check swings if there are balls or strikes?
Is it the robot or is it the human? I don't know. It's so confusing.
Just say no to robots.
And if there's a robot, if there's a robot behind home plate.
Dang.
All right, now
we're going to ban the robots. We're banning everything else. Why leave them out?
Now, we have RoboCops, so I don't.
We do.
Oh, well.
Now, listen, this call here is the exchange between the host and the caller here could quite possibly be my favorite thing that's ever been broadcast here on CBS Sports Radio. So let's listen. Guy calls up. He doesn't like the idea of actual robots behind home plate either. He has to protest this idea, and boy, they're on the same page.
Merle is in Akron. Merle, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
How you doing, Amy?
Great.
First timer.
Boom.
Hey, I had to call and tell you, there's no way in the world I want a robot behind the plate, but wouldn't it be funny if you had one back there and the batter didn't like call and started beating the hell out of it with the bat?
Or let's say the batteries ran out. What if the battery
off on the robot knock its head about 30 feet away or something like that?
Yeah. What about if the robot runs out of gas or his battery dies in the middle of a game? Or is he plugged in and somebody trips over the cord?
You know what? I think of the old Lost in Space show where they unplugged the robot and his arms just went limp and he fell over, kind of.
I mean, that's what happened to 3PO when you turn him off. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It would be...
robot calling balls and strikes. I know. So I'm just thinking, you make one bad call and somebody doesn't like it, and just starts beating the heck out of him with the bat.
That would be entertaining. I might pay to watch that or at least catch it after the fact.
Oh, I'd pay to see that.
Yuck. What CBS.
It runs that again.
That was hilarious.
What if someone trips over the cord?
I'm not surprised, though, that idea came from Merle.
It runs out of gas?
Oh, the battery runs out.
The bastard?
This is robot final place.
Oh, no.
Better stop by O'Reilly.
You say one bad word, and I will throw you out of the game.
What the hell are you talking about?
What was that?
There was also a snort in there from one of the someone laughing, I thought.
Yeah, I'm with you. Ain't there? I don't want to see no daggone robot coming after manufacturing jobs.
Easy, Merle. Take it easy on the robots. They cost a lot of money.
Well, I'd like to see it. You got to take a daggone bat to one of them robots and just smash them up.
What about if the robot runs out of gas?
Please. I really can't believe it.
As TLC said, don't go chasing waterfalls, all right?
I can't breathe.
That is, yeah.
Man, I really...
Maybe you have to be after hours to even get the humor. Maybe.
But all this is done now for me is want to see an actual robot behind on play and all these scenarios play out.
And I kind of want to meet Merle.
All right.
Merle.
Brad, thanks for the time and the update, buddy.
That was riveting.
Yes. Yeah. All right. As I wipe the tears from my face.
Yeah, that was a good one. Thank you.
Yeah. And thank you for those who listen and text me about such things.
Yes, thank your friend.
All right.
And robots, we're going to save you, I promise you. We got your
runs
back.
Out of
Trust
gas.
Me, I got your back. And we're going to get you some alternative fuels.
What? It runs out of gas. Unleaded.
Trip up the cord.
What does it take?
Well, you've seen a cord on the diamond. Where you see a cord? Where are you going to plug it in? The dugout?
Surge protector.
Lay this little carpet over it, too.
duct tape it.
Anything's got to be better than Angel Hernandez, right? Okay. All right, back to the thing I was originally going to talk about. One of my favorite players in the NFL is a guy that I knew when he was in college because he was at Pitt when I was there, Aaron Donald. I was so bullish on him because I just thought he was the man. He didn't get as much attention because he was playing for Pitt, which is, you know, recognizable Division I school, but it's not a team that's perennially in the top 25 or anywhere near it where you're thinking, oh, this guy's going to get a ton of attention. So I would always advocate for him. I said, this guy's going to be a first-round draft choice. He's going to go to the Pro Bowl. He's done all of that and more. And there's many people out there that believe he's the best defensive player in the game right now. And he's holding out. He's due to make $1.8 million this year. And next year, it's about $6-plus million. And he wants a big new contract because he's the man. And it's gotten to the point now where, and sometimes you hear this stuff just because it's the thing that's going to get people talking about it, or it's the thing that might get one side talking more seriously about it. But there are those who are close to Aaron Donald are saying that he's prepared to sit out the entire year because this is that important to him. He doesn't want to be one of these guys that suffers injury and isn't able to reap the benefits of hitting that big contract because he's been outperforming his rookie deal by like 50-fold. So if you're the Rams, and I understand you got a lot of guys you want to pay in that roster, but right now you don't have a lot of good players. And you don't want to make it so you're paying a defensive player like a quarterback and that changes your whole cap structure. But take care of the guy, will you? This is not something you need to be messing around with. He's still young. He's dominant. He's a hard worker. He's a good guy. He's never going to screw you. And he's never had a history injury either where he's been out for a long period of time. Take care of this damn guy and build around him and stop messing around.
He's a superstar on the team. Todd Gurley is a superstar, or could be a superstar if he had an offensive line that could open up just a small hole, because he has that superstar potential. Aaron Donald is a superstar. He has earned it. He is one of the best players in the league. He's top 10. He may even be top 5. This guy is so dominant. I think he has the second most sacks for a defensive tackle in the league over his career. Now he's going into his fourth season. So normally, after that third year, you don't see deals redone. But the Rams have actually done that. They did that with Tavon Austin. I believe they did it with Robert Quinn. And J.J. Watt, that happened with his deal. He had received a new six-year deal after his third season in the league. Now, the highest-paid players, Von Miller and Ndamukong Suh, they didn't have a new deal that soon, but those are the dominant players, or two of the dominant players. I'm putting Aaron Donald in there as well. This guy is a freak at that defensive tackle position. He's so strong. He's so violent with his hands. He's physical, and he's always getting to the quarterback. So he's an amazing player, and he should be treated as such.
Yeah, and I don't know why. I don't know his demands, but and maybe his agent is going nuts with the things that he's asking for, but he doesn't seem like a guy who's going to take every last penny, at least from what I remember. So that makes me think that the Rams are shortchanging him at this point. And there's a reason why certain organizations are stuck in neutral for decades. That seems what's going on right now with the now Los Angeles Rams. All right, coming up next, Derek Jeter's dream might be crushed. Come right back.
We've got Guns N' Roses tickets. Listen to Tiki and Tierney for your chance to win right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You can always tweet us at Gio and Jones, G-I-O and Jones, if you want to get in touch with the show. And naturally, our Facebook page as well, Gio and Jones. So Miami-Dade County is telling Derek Jeter and anybody else who will listen that even though that disgusting over-the-top sculpture in center field at Marlins Park, even though that's there and Derek Jeter wants to get rid of it, that you can't. It will not be removed because it is art. And even if you wanted to take it down, you can't.
Yeah.
All right? So back off this puke statue.
Permanently installed? How is that?
You can take anything down.
Thank you. Anything.
Anything can come down. That's a bullcrap excuse. They said even if you wanted to take it down, you can't because it's there and you can't even move it.
We use Gorilla Glue.
I mean, just demolish the thing. That's all you have to do.
Leave the robots alone and take a bat to that piece of monstrosity.
Yeah, I get a crane and a wrecking ball. Just bang, and then it's gone. You're telling me that thing can't be moved?
It's art. Great. We can appreciate art, but I don't think you want that to be part of the playing field, even though it's not part of the playing field. It still just stands out. And Jerry Jones, AT&T Stadium, they have a ton of art. They're proud of all that art, but it's not taken away from what's happening on the field. Move it somewhere else in the stadium. Or put it right outside the stadium.
Well, if you can't move it, then I guess you can't, huh? Yeah, if you put it right outside the stadium, it makes a lot more sense. But I mean,
put a drape over it.
You'll be able. I mean, they're taking apart the old Kosciuszko Bridge here in New York.
The who?
The Kosciuszko Bridge.
Kosciuszko.
The Kosciuszko.
Kosciuszko.
Some people say it's pronounced Kosciuszko. I like to say Kosciuszko. I think that's.
I think
a
I
lot
can
of
say Kosciuszko. Kosciuszko.
We're not in Seoul right now.
I am.
Kosciuszko.
Kosciuszko.
But
Kosciuszko.
No, wait, hold on. The Kosciuszko is what I say.
Right.
Some people say the Kosciuszko. That's what
Kosciuszko.
It is.
I can say Kosciuszko.
But Kosciuszko, you can't say?
No, I'm done.
Kosciuszko.
Kosciuszko. Kosciuszko.
What is wrong with you?
I have no idea. Quit asking me that, damn
it. Can we get a robot co-host in here, please? And make sure you fill them up with gas.
Just say no to robots.
Kosciuszko.
Okay.
Try to say
I
it.
I believe
no,
you.
No, now I can't move on from this.
Oh, damn.
Because I need to hear you say it. because
I can't leave, girl, till you say you still love me.
It's one of these things now. It's in my. I need to hear you say.
Damn, he's so demanding.
Say it right after me.
Yes, sir.
All you have to do is mimic.
All right.
Kosciuszko.
Kosciuszko.
Oh, close.
I got it. Kosciuszko.
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 Oh!
Hey! Coachable, baby.
Take that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
Take that, Kuzco.
Well, my point was...
Right.
That
where is this bridge we speak of?
It connects Brooklyn to Manhattan and... Well, sort of, right? No, it kind of goes over...
How many bridges connect Brooklyn to Manhattan? Because you have the Brooklyn Bridge, you have... Is there another bridge?
Well, there's... Well, what is it? What does it really do there, Pete? Because I guess you go from Kosciuszko to Williamsburg, and Williamsburg really does Brooklyn to Manhattan. So it's like sort of... Oh, you go over some body of water that's still in Brooklyn, because you're still in Brooklyn when you go over the Kosciuszko, right? I can't... Your mic's not working again, Pete, for crying out loud. Damn thing. But anyway... All right.
Testing.
There you go.
You can't. Yeah, because you can go off the bridge and go around it to get to, you know, where you have to go in Queens or where.
Right. Okay.
So it's I call it the non-toll version of the of a bridge connecting the city to Queens.
Right. It's free to go.
That's a long title.
Yeah.
That's what I call it. Non-toll bridge connected. Yeah.
Because that's very easy to remember. That's what I like to call it. It's Kosciuszko, so hard to say. I call it the non-toll bridge version of the way you want to go to Queens or anywhere else.
Exactly.
That's my nickname for it. It's my pet name for the Kosciuszko. So, anyway, all of this talk about the damn Kosciuszko bridge. But my point is, they built a new one, right? Because the old one was all dilapidated,
right.
Disgusting. And they built that one. They built a new one right next to it, and they have to get rid of the old one. But they can't demolish the old one like normal because it's too close to the new one. So they're doing a controlled demolition from the water, okay? So you basically have cranes that are taking apart the old Kosciuszko Bridge piece by piece.
Right.
Like underwater, up over all of this stuff, and not touching a new bridge, and you can't get rid of that stupid thing in Marlins Park. Get the hell out of here with that excuse! All right, that was what I was trying
to get
to.
Full circle, boy. That's what we do here. Yeah, brought it all the way back from New York to Florida. I-95 all the way.
If you are still with us,
you want to learn about some more bridges.
Yeah, the listeners that made it through our Kosciuszko conversation, you're welcome, and you're still here. And now it's time to talk about this Cardinals rally cat.
Dude, come on, get a cat back. The cat said, remember the lady lied? The lady at the stadium came, got the cat, the dude just gave up the cat? The dude who didn't know how to hold the cat?
Wait, what?
The dude that didn't know how to hold up the cat just gave the cat to some random lady at the stadium.
Right.
And then the cat got away again.
Right.
And now the cat's at a shelter.
Right.
And the Cardinals want the cat. They say the cat is ours.
They said the cat is ours.
We want Rally. We'll take care of Rally.
What I don't understand, though, is that they can get the cat eventually, can't they? Because it has to wait like a 10-day health period or something, and it's got to get its shots
There's
or whatever.
There's a long list of applicants for this cat.
Oh, there are now.
Yes.
Oh, that's what it is.
Right.
Okay.
And St. Louis is saying, this is our property. Cat showed up at our facility, on our field. This is our cat. So that's it. Mikey B, you and Leon, you cannot have a cat.
That's what I was confused about. I'm glad you cleared that up. Because I thought that they took the cat back, and then the Cardinals could end up having the cat after this 10-day grace period or whatever.
No.
But I guess other people want the cat.
Yes, the Cardinals are trying to claim the cat. Man. They can't. That cat is free for now.
Well, just
the shelter.
And I don't know why the Cardinals are still. I mean, give it
up. They want the cat, man. The cat was good luck.
Oh, stop.
Have you had a good luck cat before?
I mean, my parents, I grew up around cats.
There
you
go.
I'm an animal person. I like cats.
Right.
I like dogs.
Well, they
like
this cat, except for the dude who was trying to take the cat off the field because he didn't know how to hold the cat once again.
Yeah, the pictures of this
Lamont.
Guy.
Lamont.
Yeah, the pictures of this guy, and the cat is so pissed, too.
Wouldn't you be? Cat was minding his own business at a baseball game.
He has to be allergic or something because the way he was holding this thing and the cat's looking back at him like, what are you doing? Stop.
Ever held a cat before, dude?
Yeah, and now they're trying to bully the shelter of the Cardinals.
Yes.
And they're saying this is unlike the Cardinals.
This is our cat. But that's great that that one little kitty has so many people that would love to be its owner. Yeah. And maybe they could corral it, unlike its previous owner, if he even had one. Well, way to go, Cat.
You know
you're
what
in the driver's seat. You're in the rocket chair now, babe. You're going to have a great life.
You know what I would do?
What?
With it is true. They've now, I mean, this cat, I mean, this is a life. You're right.
You set up for prosperity right from here on out.
It might even end up in the Bisseglia household. It might even.
We'd love it.
It'd be Leon's little brother.
Let's not go back there to the lick fest.
But yeah. If you're the person who gets the cat, the first thing you have to do, even if you love the cat, is you got to call the Cardinals and say how much. That's the first thing you got to do. If you're someone else who gets the cat, you got to call the Cardinal and say, how much for the cat?
Ah, you think? You're going to pimp the cat?
Yeah, I think so.
Man, boy.
Mikey B says, I wouldn't. Okay. So you have
pimp the pussy cat?
But you know that the Cardinals will take care of the cat. You know they desperately want the
right cat.
They're a billion-dollar organization.
So what do you... Put a number on it. What price are you going to put on the kitty?
I mean, I'm starting at $100,000.
You are... Oh, wow.
Starting at $100,000. Why not? Listen.
Cat pimp over here, man. Come on.
Why wouldn't you try that?
No.
Why wouldn't you?
You want the cat for your own. You love the cat. And maybe the cat is more important than a significant chunk of change.
Listen, a little kitten that you have for a day, that an organization that you know will take care of it because they have to, because they're in the public eye. You know that they want it that badly. You can go rescue another cat. And that could be your cat. You sell this cat for the top dollar to the organization. You've got the cat, $100,000. Let's
like
go.
The lady at the lodge in Les Miserables selling Lisette, huh?
Yes.
Oh, we love her so much. How
same
many
thing.
Francs? How many? How many?
Yeah. Same exact thing.
Man, you are a pimp.
Oh, you would do it.
I would not. Yes, we love would. This kitty.
You abandon your
love
dog.
Love it and hug it.
In your life.
Our very own. How much?
In your yeah. See, I know you. I know that you're just
damn.
Playing the other side for the hell of it.
I loved you, Hoya, but you got to go.
Right. Well, that's what you already did that in your real life for free.
What?
You've abandoned your dog.
I'm going to see my baby today.
I still love the fact that because your dog lives with your estranged wife down in Florida, that you book these flights for two things, and neither one of them are to see the wife. It's the weather, and it's the dog. That's why you go down
there. The pool and the dog.
Oh, yeah, the pool and the dog. I'm sorry. The pool.
Man, come on. I go down... See everybody.
Oh, do you?
Yes. All encompassing trip.
Okay.
Come on.
Sure you do. All right. Coming up next, Michael Bennett.
You going to pimp something else?
I might, depending on the situation. I'm standing by my thought.
Give you a pimp name.
You know what?
That's IG.
That's not bad. Gio and Jones coming right back. CBS Sports Radio.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches?
Ah.
Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.